Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
They say in heaven, love comes first. We'll make heaven a place on earth. Ooh, heaven is a place on earth.
I have my other issues with certain things with PBS, but I do think that we have to understand what PBS has done locally. Be Our Neighbor Day, when the Sheriff's Office, Pensacola Police Department, City, County has been involved. I bring my children every year. There's 2,000 people that show up to it. The things they do there, my biggest concern is that if we pull PBS out, are we still gonna have Be My Neighbor Day? Are we still gonna have those things? Are we still going to have a channel that offers, not everything, but the things that have helped children growing up?
That is the voice of Andrew Hobbs. Of course, you know him as one of the chief deputies at the Escambia County Sheriff's Office, but he is also a member of the Board of Trustees of Pensacola State College. And yesterday we were talking about what I consider to be the brewing scandal surrounding Zach Smith's apparent effort, I mean, just based on what I'm seeing, to come after Ed Meadows and try to get rid of him. But this is a different slice of the question. This is one that's been covered in the news a little bit more recently, which is that PBS and WSRE, right, they were having a conversation about what to do now that, you know, the funding cuts have happened, and that makes it kind of a non-viable alternative to continue doing normal business. But Ed Meadows was asking the board, you know, hey, what do you guys want me to do? So Andrew Hobbs was talking about how, you know, look, WSRE, which is the, you know, the PBS local affiliate, the local license affiliate for PBS. WSRE is a TV station. PBS is a content provider. And so WRSRE is the station that has a licensing agreement with PBS in order to air all of the PBS programming. And I know if you're not in broadcasting, it's easy to kind of not understand all the details here. But think about, like, okay, Channel 3, WEAR. WEAR is the actual station. That's their call letters, is the station. And they are a Sinclair-owned, so the company, corporation Sinclair, owns the license, WEAR, but they are an ABC affiliate, meaning that they carry ABC syndicated programming. And, of course, a lot of their programming is local news, which is not ABC, although they use ABC news sources in their local news. Same thing at WSRE, right? It's it's owned by the college, Pensacola State College. They are the station WSRE. They have PBS is the content provider that provides them a lot, but certainly not all of their content. There's lots of local content as well. And they pay for that. And so I know if you're not into broadcasting, it can be easy to misunderstand all this. That's why I'm, you know, sorry for mansplaining it a little bit, but I'm sure some people don't fully understand. And that's why I thought it was worth it. Back to Andrew Hobbs talking about the value of having something like a PBS local station.
I didn't have, the only channel I had was Channel 3 and PBS when I lived off a trailer park in off Pine Forest Road. That's all I had. I didn't have the luxury of having a satellite dish. I didn't have those luxuries. And I think I turned out okay. Now, of course, my mom did a great job and things like that. But I understand the pressure that you're under, that everybody else is under. I just want to make sure that we are making the right decision for the college in particular.
And so what he's getting at there is that as a community partner, WSRE has been fantastic with the sheriff's office. They've also been a great source of education and inspiration and quality, clean content for, you know, as long as they have been around. There have, of course, more recently been a couple of, I would say, minor in the grand scheme of things, questions about certain content. There's certainly a liberal skew to PBS that's indisputable, although their chairwoman had disputed it, which I thought was kind of an amazing thing for somebody to do. But all in all, you know, good content, right? I mean, PBS is good content. And he was saying, look, I grew up on this. If it hadn't been for them and Channel 3, the only two stations he could get when he grew up poor or, you know, not affluent, however you want to describe it, it would have been bad for him. And there are other kids like, you know, little Andrew Hobbs is out there running around watching TV and needing to watch the programming that comes to them on PBS. And he says, look, it's his job to stick up for them, to protect that, because that's a value in the community. And as a, you know, as a sheriff, sheriff, chief deputy, he sees the effect of when we don't educate kids, when they don't have a future, when they don't have hope. But if you can teach them their numbers and their letters and, you know, their colors and how to get along with people. And I mean, these are valuable things that come through PBS content, right?
I have to say thank you to WSRE Foundation. I have close friends that are on the foundation. They do an amazing job every day. Jill Hubbs does an amazing job for our community every single day, and I appreciate her. I just have to voice those concerns because I feel like I owe to be a person of my word and speak to the people who came. So that's why I'm bringing up my concerns.
Yeah, to speak up for the people who, you know, may not be able to be members of the foundation board or may not be big donors. In fact, that's kind of the point is, a lot of this content goes specifically to help people who don't have much voice, don't have much power, and it helps them specifically or and their kids specifically. And that's why he says, you know, it's my job to kind of speak up for them. Ed Meadows, of course, president of the college.
The portion that I'm putting before the board for consideration of a vote, I wanted first to understand that the board would like to see I'd like to know if the board would like to see WSRE continue as a public broadcasting station. So that's what I'm asking before I get to the other parts that I asked the board to.
Yeah, so that, I know it's a little hard to hear him. We need to get him up on the mic a little bit better. it happens. I mean, this. Listen. That, you know, they don't even like stream their meetings. I had to ask, you know, for access to the meetings, which they were very helpful in providing. I mean, Sheila Nichols was great at PSC. But, you know, nobody has ever paid attention to the Board of Trustees meetings at the Pensacola State College before. Well, now we've got the DeSantis takeover of local education. We've got Zach Smith doing his stuff. We got the decertifying or the defunding of WSRE, PBS, of PBS, not of WSRE, of PBS. And so, you know, now people are paying attention to some of these things. Channel 3, to their credit, has been in a lot of these meetings and watching them personally. I don't attend the meetings. I'd like to catch them online. Anyway, so it's basically asking the question, what do you guys want us to do? What do you, you know, how do you want us to approach this? Do you want us to just quit the station and abandon the license or sell it to somebody? Do you want us to keep the station and then get some other content provider to provide us the stuff that we can't afford anymore with PBS or we have trouble affording with PBS? Or do you want us to, you know, somehow try to make it work? And of course, the foundation, and again, apologies for explaining stuff that a lot of people understand. The foundation is the fundraising side. They're not, the foundation and the station are not the same. And in fact, there's a lot of kind of rules about what each can do with each other. But, you know, it's just like the Sheriff's Foundation is the fundraising arm to amplify the, you know, law enforcement and community outreach efforts of the sheriff. The sheriff himself is funded from the Board of County Commissioners and your taxes. The foundation is funded by, you know, is funded by private donations. They do a lot of overlapping things, but they do not do the same things. Similar with WSRE, right? You have the WSRE station and the ownership and the management and the employees, and then you have the foundation, which is the fundraising arm that helps support the mission. And, you know, they work together, but they are not the same thing. Zach Smith, the one who I've raised a lot of questions about, he, you know, I think asking a very good question here, which is, okay, if we don't do PBS, what do we do and are they any good?
Well, I certainly appreciate the work that you've done, and I understand your concerns as well, Chief Hobbs, and I appreciate hearing those, and certainly support the continuation of a transition plan for WSRE. Moving forward, I would like a little more information about Echo TV. I know you mentioned that. It looks like a fairly new entity. I had a chance to visit their website. It looked fairly bare bones right now, and so I would just want to make sure that that is a sustainable path forward. And so as part of any future planning or reports, I'd appreciate a little more information on Echo TV and how that's sustainable, that path.
This is the one you may have read, has apparently some AI-generated content. You know, it's a very low-cost alternative to PBS. Whether it's any good or not, I suppose, remains to be seen. But he's saying, I just want to know more about that as an option. Ed Meadows.
So that's what I wanted to hear, because moving forward, that would be to flesh out bare bones of what.
Yeah, the moving forward part is basically that they want to keep the station. That was key one. Key two then is, you know, what's the content going to be? You know, ending affiliation with PBS, that seems to be happening.
A recommendation is that we end our PBS affiliation at the end of this funding year. and that we optimize all available grant funding to support WSRA during this transition.
So ending PBS at the end of the year, the end of what he called the grant funding period, and then, you know, or the funding period, and then pursuing grant funding in order to support WSRE in some other kind of mission, because it just financially doesn't make sense for them to continue with PBS.
So we want to retain as much of the tradition as we can at a price that we can afford.
Yeah, I mean, the cost is going to be significant, and there's going to be people lose their jobs over this.
So yes, people will lose their jobs. There's no doubt about that, unless we can find other openings at the college. But we will say At least seven
people they think are probably going to lose their jobs in the transition phase. So what's the future? Well, as Channel 3 was reporting last night, you had a emergency meeting of the foundation board, and they got together, and some of the requests from Dr. Meadows to that board were an announcement that they were being decertified as being affiliated with the college. So that's going to make it hard for them to operate, but they still have funds. They have about $5 million in money. And what the college had been hoping to do is just kind of say, oh, well, we'll take it, you know. But, of course, the money that was raised that is in surplus right now for them was given for PBS operations at WSRE, right? That's what people gave money for, is for them to continue to do or other elements of what WSRE has done. And so a lot of that stuff comes with strings and conditions attached. And the board seems to indicate that they're not able to just blanket give it over, but they're trying to figure out what they're going to do. And, you know, how long do they keep funding? If PBS doesn't exist anymore at WSRE, what slice of their money could still go to WSRE, in what form? So these are all things to kind of be determined. They're in flux right now. But as Channel 3 reported, they're going to be meeting every week to figure out going forward what happens. But yeah, end of the year, WSRE will no longer be a PBS affiliate. Will they still exist in a year? What will their content be? How many people will work there? And will they still be affiliated with Pensacola State College long term? These are all things that are kind of up in the air suddenly. And I'll tell you, you know, one of the things I've said before, and just to, so you're not surprised about my position, is I like the existence of, now we're not talking at the moment about NPR. NPR is a UWF, like WUWF, the radio station is NPR. That's radio content versus TV content. But you had these two publicly supported, to some degree, not entirely, of course, but to some degree, publicly supported entities, National Public Radio and Public Broadcasting Service. And I have said that these are two valuable entities. They provide good content. They both lean left. That in and of itself is, fine. You know, we lean right. Okay. The fact that there's a political lean to a content provider is, sounds American to me. But okay, so that's one question. The separate question of getting public funding and whether you qualify, for example, for tax exemptions as a nonprofit. Well, what I've always said is that NPR and PBS, as entities, as broadcasters, or as content providers for broadcasters, cool, good. I listen and watch too. Okay. As publicly funded? Oh, no. No. I don't want us to get public money, and I don't want them to get public money. I don't think that broadcasters should be government supported one way or the other. And then as far as the tax breaks go and the, you know, sort of operational advantages that they have over us because of their nonprofit status, I also find that troubling. You know, we have to go out and sell ad, right? We people come to us and they spend money and they get their services or products represented by us, and that costs them money, and they hope that you go buy their products and services. Well, PBS and WSRE do that, but then they don't sell it as advertising. It's sponsorships in which they mention the company and their products and where you can go to find them, which sounds to me as a consumer a lot like an ad, which means they are competing with us for ad dollars, although they don't call them that. Under a color of protection of how they're categorized as a nonprofit. And I have a problem with that, too, because that puts us at a competitive disadvantage in a marketplace where we're basically competing against people who have a government benefit, both in funding and in legal protection. So I don't like that. But I have no problem with PBS and NPR as entities or as content providers. It's fine. You know, NBC, ABC, CBS, Disney, you know, whatever. Content providers, fine. But the government shouldn't be involved in that, and the government shouldn't be putting its finger on the scale, preferencing any one way or the other. Now, does my position on that, which seems to be represented by this administration, mean that we lose certain participants from the marketplace? It might well, but again, that's what a marketplace is there for, is to be equal to all comers. And until recently, it has not been equal to all comers, and so though I hate to see the content go away, I like to see the marketplace be made fair, which it seems to be moving in that direction. 524 here on News Radio 92.3. Speaking of advertisers, how we make a living. Why not? Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty are outstanding realtors. They sold 165 homes last year, 175 the year before that, 200 plus the year before that, when it was easier, you know, when the market was super sweet and you're like, hey, here's a home. You'd be out like putting the sign in the ground. We've got a home for sold, you know, like before you could basically get the thing pounded into the dirt, it would have to have a sold sign on it. Well, it's not like that anymore. When it was hot, it was easy. And they were still beneficial because they get you the maximum amount for your sale or the lowest amount for the purchase. Now, when it's a little bit more challenging and people are more skittish and the economy is less hot, let's say, when it comes to housing, you benefit even more from having a good realtor because they can really give you expert advice and really help you figure out what's normal, what is the right price, you know, what's the right price to entice offers, what's the right price you have to agree to, you know, which purchaser should you accept, warning signs if there are any, things you have to accommodate by getting a new roof or a new water heater, like all that stuff, okay? There's just a lot that goes into selling or buying a home. And Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty are great at this. 786-3996.
Seems like there's more identity theft in the news every day.
Another major healthcare breach was reported today, resulting in the exposure of consumers
have been a victim of identity. That's because there are endless places that could accidentally expose you to identity theft in a breach or simply by mistake. LifeLock monitors hundreds of millions of data points a second. If your identity is stolen, we'll fix it. Guaranteed or your money back. Save up to 40% your first year with promo code NEWS at LifeLock.com. Terms apply.
Delicious seafood is what you'll find at Davis Catfish House. Davis Catfish serves only the best Mississippi catfish, fresh Gulf seafood, and delicious homemade sides. Weekday specials include two times Tuesday, six free shrimp added to the six-piece dinner. Wednesdays offer lunch basket specials. And everybody's favorite, Shrimp-tastic Thursday, $5 off all you can eat shrimp. Serving fresh seafood daily. Visit David's Catfish House on Dogwood Drive in Milton. See you at David's.
Let's go. You're still glowing, flirting, grooving. You still got it. But your immune system weakens as you age, making it harder to fight flu, pneumococcal pneumonia, RSV, and COVID-19. Vaccines are a key part of any health routine and help strengthen your immune response. Ask your doctor or pharmacist which vaccines you need. Schedule in minutes at VaxAssist.com. Sponsored by Pfizer.
Guy Benson, keeping you informed of the news every day at 2, right after Mark Lee Van Camp and Robbins on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
I don't like your style, your politics, or your sense of humor. I don't like what you say or how you say it.
Common enough sentiment about the Pensacola Morning News. 527 here on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. We have storms in the vicinity, but not right here. Looks like everything is all around us this morning. Out in the Gulf, south of the coastline, you know, I mean, there's a little bit of rain, Gulf breeze, Navarre area this morning, but most of it is to our south and then to our east, so like Crestview and east and then the south in the Gulf. So we'll keep an eye on this, see if any of that's going to affect us today, if we're going to have another rainy day like we did yesterday. Meanwhile, Seafood Festival is going on, all kinds of fun downtown. If you like seafood, even if you don't, it's great for people watching and just hanging out and doing that kind of fun stuff. That is today, the 27th, through the, today's not the 27th. Today is the 26th. It is today through Sunday. The information in my piece of paper here is not 100% accurate. You can look for the big cat, of course, the cat country mascot near the stage. Headliners include Mark Broussard, 90s cover band Mustache, and on Sunday you got Corey Smith. Lots of stuff going on downtown. Also, it is opening night coming up on the 4th, Saturday, October 4th, Pensacola Symphony Orchestra, 100th season. Man, we got a lot of big anniversaries coming up next year. 250th for the Navy, 100th for the Sanger. You can go to Ticketmaster.com for the Sanger box office to get more information. David Wayne is in the newsroom this morning with our headlines. David?
Well, good morning, gentlemen. Former FBI Director James Comey says he's innocent after being indicted yesterday. In a video posted on social media, Comey said that he's innocent and his family will not live on their knees. Comey's been charged with one count of making false statements and one count of obstruction of justice.
My heart is broken for the Department of Justice, but I have great confidence in the federal judicial system, and I'm innocent. So let's have a trial and keep the faith.
Absolutely. Thank you very much, Andrew. President Trump ordering federal prosecutors to pursue the death penalty in Washington, D.C. He signed an executive order directing Attorney General Pam Bondi and U.S. Attorney Jeanine Pirro to seek capital punishment in especially aggravated cases. This comes as federal prosecutors have been increasing their felony filings in the district. D.C. previously abolished the death penalty in 1981. And Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth says 20 soldiers who were awarded the Medal of Honor for the 1890 battle at Wounded Knee can keep their awards. That battle is now known as the Massacre of Native Americans. Over 350 Lakota men, women, and children in South Dakota were killed by soldiers. The previous administration had considered rescinding those awards.
Did you hear that there's also a back and forth, I guess, over Fort Benning? That they, I sometimes can't even keep track of the name changes. I think it was changed back to Benning, and then there's now a filing by maybe a Democrat who wants to change it back to what they had changed it to before they changed it back to Fort Benning. It's the name Hokey Pokey, okay? It's the name game Hokey Pokey.
Fox News, I'm CJ Papa.
And I'm innocent.
Former FBI Director James Comey on Instagram posting his reply to a pair of indictments from a federal grand jury in Virginia.
Charges of giving false statements and obstruction of a congressional proceeding. Both alleged crimes relate to Comey's testimony during a Senate Judiciary Committee hearing back in 2020, which focused on the investigation into ties between Russia and President Donald Trump's 2016 campaign.
Fox's Chandley Painter, President Trump posting on Truth Social, Justice in America.
FBI Director Kash Patel says nowhere was this politicization of law enforcement more blatant than during the Russiagate hoax, a disgraceful chapter in history we continue to investigate and expose.
That's Fox's David Spudden, Comey's attorney, saying James Comey denies the charges filed today. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning. 5:31 at News Radio 92.3. We've got 74 degrees, cloudy skies right now. Of course, we've got our forecast with Brooke Richardson. That'll be on the way in just a few minutes. Well, the I-10 entrance ramp, I-110 entrance ramp, that is, onto I-10 had to be shut down for a brief time yesterday afternoon. Happened about 3:15 on Thursday. FHP said a pickup truck that was towing a fifth-wheel trailer going around that curve. The trailer apparently became disconnected and rolled onto the road. Of course, all that was cleared out yesterday, and the driver of the truck was not injured in that accident. Pensacola State College trustee voicing concerns over college president Dr. Ed Meadows' leadership at the school. Zach Smith serves on both the PSC and UWF board, said recently he had some difficult conversations with Dr. Ed Meadows.
Several times since I've joined the board, there have been certain actions that are required by the board, by either Florida statute, regulations, or the college's own procedures that have not occurred in a timely manner until it was pointed out to Dr. Meadows that those things were not done. And then I do have concern that there is a lack of oversight in terms of making sure that the college is complying with the state's requirements to make sure that we're not expending funds on any prohibited DEI expenditures.
Smith also raised concerns about an organization Meadows serves on the board of, Achieve Escambia, which Smith said had DEI language on its website. Smith said the website was changed, though, after he addressed those concerns with Dr. Meadows. Smith also said he was concerned about a recent hire who had previously voiced support for DEI in an interview. Smith was at the center of the recent ouster of former UWF president Dr. Martha Saunders, which started when he raised similar DEI-related concerns there. Now, it's now been several months since Pensacola's interim police chief, Kristen Brown, stepped into the job. The city's now starting a nationwide search to determine who's going to take over for her after she retires.
And the mayor said when he appointed Chief Brown that there was going to be a search, there was going to be a nationwide search, and that's exactly what's going on. You know, the question kind of comes up sometimes, isn't there any talent within the police department? Why do you need a nationwide search? There certainly is the talent for that position in the police department, but the mayor didn't want his hands tied. He wanted to look at the whole big picture, and that's what's going on.
PPD's Mike Wood. Brown was headed towards retirement when she took over for former Chief Eric Randall earlier this year. She is the agency's first female police chief. Brown had planned to retire early next year. Well, term limits could potentially be on the way for commissioners and school board members. News Radio's Chris Bryan says that vote is scheduled to happen November of next year.
A proposed constitutional amendment has been filed in Tallahassee seeking to impose 12-year term limits on county commissioners and school board members. If lawmakers pass the proposal, it'll need voter approval in the November 2026 elections. By the way, the 2026 legislative session gets underway January 13th, 2026. Chris Bryan, News Radio 92.3.
Today marks 1 year since Hurricane Helene hit North Florida. A Category 4 storm made landfall in Taylor County near Perry on this date last year. The Big Bend and parts of the Panhandle sustained widespread power outages, flooding, and tree damage. The National Weather Service said Helene brought a widespread catastrophic storm surge that measured above 15 feet. 5:35 at News Radio 92.3, and let's get a look at our Channel 3 weather.
We are going to be looking at those wet conditions coming to an end as you head into the end of your morning. We're going to be seeing a much calmer afternoon, high near 86 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 68. Going into Saturday, beautiful start to the day with some drier feeling air, high near 87 in the afternoon, plenty of sunshine. Saturday night, temperatures dropping near 68. Beautiful on Sunday as well, plenty of sunshine, high near 89, and by Sunday night, temperatures dropping near 70 degrees. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
73 right now, cloudy skies. Our next news at 6. Breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3.
Hi, I'm Billy Anderson with Anderson Subaru. The men and women here at Anderson Subaru are committed to the Subaru Love Promise, a promise between us and our communities, a promise to make the Gulf Coast a better place to live, to work, and to play. And we're proud of what we've accomplished. From our ongoing support of the Pensacola Breast Cancer Association and Ascension Sacred Heart to volunteering with Feeding the Gulf Coast, we've conducted clothing drives for Loaves and Fishes and charity auctions for Gulf Coast Kids House, and we support Sherwood Elementary School in multiple ways. We're committed to the pets in our communities, too, by supporting dog adoption events with Phoenix Rising Rescue, Barktoberfest with Pensacola Humane Society, and Potty Gras with Wolfgang Park and Brews. And the love continues. Through donations, volunteering, and monetary support, Anderson Subaru is making a difference in the lives of our neighbors and our community. The Subaru Love Promise. That's a promise we intend to keep at Anderson Subaru, Highway 29, just north of Carr City, Pensacola, online at AndersonSubaru.com.
Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
Looking for a stylish way to promote your brand or celebrate a special occasion? Prim and Proper in Gulf Breeze now offers custom hats, a new addition to their lineup of custom and promotional items. From corporate logos to personalized designs, these hats are perfect for businesses, events, team gear, or one-of-a-kind gifts. Prim and Proper is still your go-to for custom engraving and unique gifts. From personalized drinkware to engraved home decor, every item is crafted with care by their in-house experts. Visit primandproper.com for more.
The I-10 Wired TechNet CyberCoast Summit returns October 29th to Pensacola Beach. Presented by IT Gulf Coast and Blue Angels AFSEA chapter, get connected with top-level cybersecurity, AI, and emerging technology experts. The conference features a free career fair, prizes, and an amazing welcome reception on Pensacola Beach. Discounts available for students, military, and government employees. Visit itenwired.com for tickets.
Are you ready for a triple dose of wit, insight, and laughter? Tune in to News Radio Pensacola for the Markley, Van Camp, and Robin Show from 11 to 2. Your daily dose of engaging conversation and hilarious banter. Join Jamie Markley, David Van Camp, and Scott Robbins as they tackle the biggest news stories, pop culture moments, and everything in between. They'll keep you entertained, informed, and laughing out loud from start to finish. Don't miss a minute of the fun. Tune in to the Markley, Van Camp, and Robin Show, 11 till 2 on News Radio Pensacola.
Back boy.
Good morning, 538, News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Yesterday, we had a good chance to talk to our friend Mike Wood, who is the Public Information Officer for the Pensacola Police Department. Mike, welcome back, sir.
Good morning. Thank you.
Good morning. Have you guys seen any particular problems this morning because of the rain? I always think about the low-lying spots, some of which are being worked on, right? That whole project in front of Joe Paddy's is getting ready to finish up here soon. That'll be better. I mean, it's closed now, but, you know, it'll be better soon. And Graffiti Bridge, have you guys seen anything this morning?
Yeah, Graffiti Bridge is the first place we look, and so far so good. The rain has been there. It just hasn't been heavy enough to close any roadways yet.
All right, well, that's always the good news. Do want to ask you about Seafood Festival, because that is going on. What do you want people to know about road closures or schedules, or, you know, how are we handling that this time?
Well, they're down there setting up now. It's going to go on this weekend. It looks like the weekend weather-wise is going to be great, so we expect large crowds down there. Just be careful. The problem we have down in that area is parking in front of people's driveways, blocking driveways, and your vehicle will get towed if you do that. So just make sure you find a good place to park, a legal place to park, facing the right way, and everything will be okay.
Very good. Had some questions for you related to open carry. As you know, all law enforcement agencies in Florida are trying to figure this out. And, you know, I think that this has kind of been a omission of guidance from the Attorney General's office where they should really be clarifying some of this stuff. And I know that, you know, legislators are going to have to clarify some of this stuff as well. But just, you know, like in the county, I know, you know, Sheriff Simmons is not enforcing any prohibition against 18, 19, and 20-year-olds. There's also some question about the prohibited locations. But just, you know, to reiterate, in the city, you guys are enforcing, you know, you're saying open carry not for a 19-year-old, and all of the standard prohibited locations for concealed carry apply to open carry, right?
Yeah, so we're trying to figure it out just like everybody else. And if there's any questions, we get with supervisors. We talk about it in lineups on things that we're going to be doing, things that we're going to enforce, and things that we're not. And you got to look at the way that this came down. It was a decision that was made instead of something that was being looked at for weeks and months at a time and being studied. So it's going to get straightened out. It always does. Mm-hmm. But if there's any question, then, again, we talk about this amongst our patrol officers and our supervisors. And if things change, which they already have a couple of times since this came out, yeah, then we will adopt to that change.
And, you know, one of the things that, frankly, I've been kind of pleasantly surprised about is there haven't seemed to have been any incidents, not really. Is that still the case in the city? That, like, it's just kind of not been a non-issue?
Yeah, it really has been. And keep in mind, and you mentioned Seafood Festival and other places, keep in mind that places like that are private events, and the people that run the show there can say and can post signs that the weapons are not allowed. So, and that's what we go by. So most of the time there will be signage there. And again, you've got the obvious places that you cannot carry at all. So if there's any question, you can always call us and let us know where you're going, what the question is, and we'll do our best to get you an answer.
But Seafood Festival, as far as we know, people can carry there, but just be aware that they could prohibit it if they decided to. Is that right?
Yeah, I haven't been told of anybody restricting anything down there. But again, if that changes, I'm sure they'll post signage. There's a lot of officers working down there as we speak. They will be told about it. And we're not going to, you know, be heavy-handed on that. We'll warn people, let them know that this isn't a private event, and they would rather people not be carrying openly at their event. And they can do that.
And I think it's also the kind of thing where, you know, people who are attending, this may be the first sort of big, you know, open event where you suddenly see other people carrying a gun. And I have been surprised to find out, but it's just true that there are some people who to this point don't even know that the law has changed. And so be aware that the law has changed. So if you see something, you know, don't be freaked out by it. The law has changed. Chief Brown is in the drop program, right? And so she is going to be retiring, but it's going to be more than a year out, I think, if I remember correctly. You correct me if I'm wrong. But we are now back into an open nationwide search phase. Is that right?
Yeah, and the mayor said when he appointed Chief Brown that there was going to be a search, there was going to be a nationwide search, and that's exactly what's going on. You know, the question kind of comes up sometimes, isn't there any talent within the police department? Why do you need a nationwide search? There certainly is the talent for that position in the police department, but the mayor didn't want his hands tied. He wanted to look at the whole big picture, and that's what's going on.
Okay, very good. We're talking to Mike Wood. He is the public information officer for the Pensacola Police Department. And we have kind of a cool story this week, which is, I think, the same is going to be our Did You Know? And that's that a couple of your deputies, a couple of deputies in the department, not really your deputies, but, you know, they're your buddies. They have been involved in developing a new system that's supposed to help folks when they're in, like, classrooms and there's active shooter kind of situations. And Lieutenant John Austin is one of the persons who was involved in it.
There could be shooting on the end of the door. They find that it's locked. Now I'm at a standstill. Now I'm going to try to kick it. I'm going to try to break the glass. I'm going to look around to try to find some alternate means to get in there. I'm going to get on the radio and call for help, someone to bring breaching equipment. So you see the problem. That's time, and that's a big problem. Or I could take this device out, put it on the end of my weapon, lean in, and I'm done. So it's, you know, seconds matter, and this thing is designed to allow officers to get instantly into doors.
This could be the matter between life and death in some
absolutely,
cases.
Absolutely. I'm very passionate about it. I want everyone to see this. I want everyone to have this.
This is a pretty great story for PPD. Mike Wood, tell us what John Austin and there's one other officer, too, that was involved in this, right? What did they invent, or what did they help invent?
Well, it's Officer Jason Browning. Both of these have extensive experience as SWAT officers. They saw a problem, and if you think about it, Andrew, every single time we have an active shooter in this country, there's only one thing slowing law enforcement down between making contact and eliminating that threat, and that's a locked door. And most of the time, these events happen inside commercial buildings with heavy-duty doors and heavy-duty locks. And Lieutenant Austin and Officer Browning, along with Dark Mountain Arms, got together. They collaborated, and they not instantly. It took several months, but they found a problem. They saw the problem. They found a solution. This will fit on the end of the rifle. They're small. They're just about the size of a small flashlight. They can go on the officer's utility belt, the outer carrier, and even in their pocket if they needed to do that. And they can be put on this weapon instantly and go through that door. So the thing that slows us down, those doors, that problem is eliminated now. And it's absolutely 100% going to save lives. What we need to do is get the word out, get it out to all the police departments across the country to say, hey, this device does exist. This will solve your problem. And we would like to see this in the hands of every single police department, not only in the country, but in the world, because it will save lives.
Now, if people are unfamiliar with what we're talking about, it's if you think of the, you know, the rifle, the AR-15 style rifle that the police have access to, this is something that you would put on the end. It would look like what you would think of as a silencer, basically. It looks a little bit like that. And then you put it up against the door and you basically shove the rifle into the device, which then uses, as I understand it, you correct me if I'm wrong, something like a shotgun shell against the door lock mechanism itself to expel that out, meaning that the door is no longer locked. It's a one-time use. You carry it, like I said, in your pocket or on your gear, and then you take it off the end of the rifle, and then you can head towards the shooter. Is that the basic idea of this thing?
Well, a couple of things. You can use it more than once if you have another round, but what it uses is a 12-gauge breaching round, which is after you fire it, it turns into a fine powder, eliminating fragmentation. So if you're worried about what's on the other side of the door, it's designed to do that. It's designed to destroy the lock or the hinge and open that door without hurting people or on the other side of that door.
Got it.
So if it doesn't work the first time, you can reload that same you can reload it and try again. But most of the time and through the testing that they've done, that second time is just not needed.
And the key there is that when you're stuck on the wrong side of a locked door, you're now talking minutes or longer when seconds count. And, you know, that's a vital tool to be able to use in that way. The other thing that I wanted, because my very first thought when I heard this was, awesome, what happens when bad people get it? You know, because if bad people come into possession of it, all of a sudden that's a way to get into somebody's home or into their business or, you know, whatever. But this is going to be, what, only available to law enforcement? Is that right?
That's correct, yes.
For exactly that reason, right? Because it's a great tool for the good guys. It's a horrible tool for the bad guys.
That's exactly right. So, you know, it's designed for the good guys to take out the bad guys or to get the bad guys, and that's exactly what it's going to do. We're happy to see this and eliminate a huge problem with active shooters that we see all too many times in this country now.
So are Austin and Browning going to keep coming to work when they're rich, or are they going to just retire on the residuals?
Well, that's a question for them, but I know what I would do. Yeah. You know what? You know, in all honesty, I know these two guys, and they absolutely did not do it for the money.
Yeah, I know.
And I talked to Lieutenant Austin about this. He told me this to my face. He said, if I could give these things away for free, I absolutely would do it. So it's not about the money. It's about saving lives. And it's just a matter of time before I'm back on your show telling you that some lives were saved somewhere in this country because of this device.
Amen. I'll take it. And I don't mind them making money for a good invention, too. People should be compensated for their IP. Mike Wood, he is the Public Information Officer for the Pensacola Police Department. Mike, as always, thank you for the time. Thanks for keeping us informed, and we'll talk to you again next week.
Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, by the way, Mike did get back in touch with me and let me know that as far as open carry goes, there has been one adjustment, which is that the Pensacola Police, the city of Pensacola, is actually allowing open carry by 18, 19, and 20-year-olds. So as far as disagreements in application with the Escambia County Sheriff's Office or Santa Rosa County Sheriff's Office, that one is everybody's now in agreement that open carry by 18 to 20-year-olds is allowed, whereas previously, of course, they haven't been allowed to carry guns at all. So, you know, they couldn't get concealed carry permits, and then they couldn't open carry, so neither one was allowed. I still think, really, Attorney General James Uthmeyer really owes the state a policy guidance until the legislators can get in and, you know, make their rules, because everybody's trying to scramble to figure out what the truth is, and they're all doing their best to understand it. And, you know, the lawyers may say this on Tuesday and then may say something else on Friday. And that's not a great place for these law enforcement agencies to be, because it's not their fault that the law got overturned and the attorney general hasn't provided guidance. I mean, it was their office that lost the case. And I'm glad they did. You know, and I'm glad they announced they're not going to appeal it, but they should have seen this coming, as I've said before, and they should have come up with a policy guidance statement, and they haven't. So that's where we are. 550 here on News Radio 92.3. Again, we are looking at a little bit of storming, not so much on land today, but if you're headed east towards anywhere towards Tallahassee, actually east of Crestview right now, Destin, Panama City, all of that area has got some storming. It's going to get worse, most of it down in the water. So if you're heading in the boat, you know, going south today, just really pay attention to that marine forecast, because, you know, it's going to matter a lot to you. If you're looking for that next vehicle, Frontier Motors has an outstanding selection of good quality used cars. And I know a lot of times when you go to a car dealer, especially a used car, but it's the same thing for new cars, is you feel like you're going into hostile territory, you know, and you're hoping to escape with your skin intact and, you know, that they don't take too much advantage of you. Right. I mean, that's how it feels. And then some of the things that often people do make you feel even worse. It's kind of an unpleasant experience. Frontier gets that, and they try not to be that at all. They try to be there as a resource. They try to just kind of be allies, not adversaries. Try to be almost like guidance counselors for you in buying a car, which is, you can ask them. They sell thousands of cars. What do people like? What do people not like? You know, it seems to me like the Toyota is great, or it seems to me like the Kia is great. What are you hearing? What are people telling you? Use them that way, because dealing with all these different cars that are almost new but not brand new gives them a kind of experience. And again, they're trying to be there for you, not just this one time, but over and over and over again, because you feel so comfortable with them that you want to bring your business back to them. That's why they've been serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi.
As a business owner, you've got a lot on your plate. Managing staff, growing your business, training new hires, and more. With so much going on, you need Avalon. As an IRS-certified PEO, Avalon HR can help. From running your payrolls, remitting state and federal taxes, workers' compensation insurance, employee benefits, and our HR expertise. Avalon HR lets you focus on your core business while we handle the rest. Employing made easy. AvalonHR.com.
Staying healthy after 65 just got easier with Ochsner Novant Health 65 Plus. This means more time with your care team and appointments, more focus on your health needs, plus daily group activities and access to an on-site fitness center. Ochsner Novant Health 65 Plus. Accepting patients at 9 Mile Road with a new location on Mobile Highway now open. Visit Ochsner.org/65plus-Pensacola.
Tune in this Monday as WSRE-TV's Bill Harrell, executive producer of Studio Amp, and Mary Riker, WSRE marketing director, will be on the Pensacola Expert Panel at 9 to discuss the upcoming Studio Amp concert series starting next week with the Pensacola Beach Songwriters Festival. It's going to be a fun-filled Pensacola Expert Panel show you don't want to miss this Monday at 9.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
The Florida Bright Futures Scholarship isn't just about covering tuition. It can help you pursue your dreams at any Florida State University, community college, or eligible trade school. Whether you want to become a teacher, study engineering, learn a skilled trade, or start your own business, Bright Futures can help you achieve your goals. The best part? It's funded by the Florida Lottery, so when people play, students win. Visit FloridaBrightFutures.gov to learn more about your options, check your eligibility, and start your application. Your bright future starts here.
This message is brought to you by the Florida Lottery and the Florida Association of Broadcasters.
Want to win tickets to Florida State home games? Download our News Radio Pensacola app, then tap that app to enter Monday through Friday on News Radio 92.3.
Brand isn't something you earn, it's something you live up to. You think you deserved it when I gave it to you?
By the way, he's not talking about marketing Brand there. You know, it's funny when you listen to Kevin Costner, his voice has gone off the deep end, you know, guttural, old man, gravelly kind of voice. But of course, it makes him perfect for that role, right? As John Dutton. 5:54 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependent. He could have sang that song. Did I say he could have sang?
Oh, yeah.
Could have sung. Sorry. I know my grammar teacher's going to get a hold of me soon. All right. Let's see. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines this morning. David?
Well, good morning. Alabama has executed death row inmate Jeffrey Todd West. He was convicted of killing a gas station clerk during a 1997 robbery. The 50-year-old was put to death by nitrogen gas last night in Atmore, despite a plea from the victim's son to spare his life. Governor Kay Ivey denied that request, saying state law required death for the most egregious murders. Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth saying 20 soldiers awarded the Medal of Honor in the 1890 battle at Wounded Knee can keep their awards. The previous administration had considered rescinding those. The battle, known as the Massacre of Native Americans, over 350 Lakota men, women, and children were killed in that battle. The Social Security Administration is phasing out paper checks, Andrew. At the end of the month, they're urging recipients
to switch. I'm sure all of the elderly will love this. Go on.
They are urging their recipients to switch to electronic payments. I honestly cannot believe they were even still sending out paper checks at this point.
Well, this is the technical divide, right? The technological divide. Anybody over 50 prefers paper. Anybody under 50 doesn't know what paper is. So, you know, the death of the newspaper print edition is upon us. But a lot of people still like the physical checks. I always prefer to get a physical mailer. I don't love the online, any of it, all of it, generally speaking. You know, but of course, bill pay is a lot easier digitally versus a stamp and a checkbook. What's a checkbook? Don't ask. Ask your grandfather. You know, that kind of stuff. So, yeah, it doesn't surprise me at all. Direct deposit. I would still be on regular old checks for everything, except that it was mandated to go to direct deposit. I don't
really
like any. Yeah, I don't like any of it. None of it. So, but, you know, I'm not yet on Social Security, but, you know, I got 11 years.
You one of those social butterflies that likes chatting with the teller when you go to the bank to deposit all your checks and that type of thing?
Of course. It's human interaction.
Okay. I can see it.
As opposed to what, the modern generation that's like afraid to leave their house and talk to people? Yeah, that's me.
It's scary out there.
Afraid of that telephone. Make a phone call. Are you crazy?
Phone call.
I'm not doing that.
Oh, no.
What? Well, they treated you out of $200. I don't care. It's not worth a phone call. Oh, by the way, on that note, David, thanks so much for the update. Very interesting story yesterday came out having to do with Gen Z having trouble getting jobs. It's not because of the job market being bad. It's not because of AI competing them out of the introductory jobs that we all get at the beginning so that we can get some experience so that we can get the actual job, you know, the kind that, you know, some people might actually want. No. There's a totally different kind of problem going on right now that as soon as he said it, it made obvious sense. Jerome Powell, the Fed chair, Fed Reserve chair, he said there's a problem called youngism. Youngism. You know what ageism is? Ageism, or you might say oldism, is discriminating against employees on the basis of their age. because, you know, people who are old are too anti-technological or too slow or too costly because they're going to have health problems and that's going to jack up your pool insurance. Like all of the things that come with, you know, being older. Well, the problem now you have is that the intro jobs, the people who are just out of college, are having trouble getting hired because of youngism, a set of stereotypes and practices that discount younger workers as typically being unreliable, lazy, disloyal, do the minimum, don't want to work, believe in, you know, healthcare days or mental health days. Yeah, yeah. Right. Like that, because the bias against young people, largely because of young people, but also, I mean, there's always been the bias against young people. There's always, oh, the kids these days. But it has definitely reached a pitch lately where, and I thought about this, you know, am I perpetuating the bias against hiring young people, which is making it harder for young people to get jobs, which is creating a cycle of despair within the economy? And I don't want to be responsible for that. So, for example, when a lot, and it's always been the case that jobs will prefer to have like experience, you know, you have 3 to 5 years of experience. Well, how do you get that experience in jobs that don't require experience, obviously? But you can mask youngism or bias against hiring young people by artificially presenting barriers to hiring and say a job that really doesn't take experience, you say it takes 3 to 5 years, because then you're only going to get people who are older. This is a very interesting conundrum, because if kids can't get the basic jobs, they'll never get the experience to get the real jobs, and frankly won't learn the skills, soft skills that they need in order to thrive in those jobs. So yeah, youngism is one of the reasons that young people are having a hard time finding jobs.